Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show podcast on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Visit cgmradio.com/Bob to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform.
Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show. Our theme, Christianity and its relationship to politics and pop culture. Often I get readers' comments for the articles I write in my column. Here's one for an article that was called When Liberal Values Collide. He says, I am one old American who is slightly to the left socially and slightly right fiscally, so I refer to my beliefs as moderate. Yeah, sure. Everybody likes to view himself as a moderate these days. Okay, let's read on. We'll see just how moderate he is. He says, I do not agree with abortion philosophically, but I am unalterably opposed to outlawing the practice. See, there you have it. He's personally against abortion, but it's okay for you to have one. This makes him a moderate. And of course, since he's fiscally conservative, that makes him a moderate too. But how moderate is he on the subject of abortion? Let's read on. He says, I have no desire to force women with an unwanted fetus to the back alleys where they once had to go if they weren't affluent enough to go to Denmark or Sweden. I do not believe that we should still be arguing the point since there are too many options to unwanted pregnancies. Oh, another moderate position. We shouldn't even be arguing about it. We're talking about a human life, and we shouldn't even be arguing about it. It should be settled. That's his moderate position. Anyway, he goes on. I believe that abortion is properly the decision of the female who can square it with herself, her doctor, and her God. We men should stay the hell out of it. Okay, I guess this guy really prides himself on being a sensitive male. Boy, he sure told me we men should stay the hell out of it. My friends, how interesting when somebody is against abortion personally, but does not want to see it outlawed. With all due respect for an obvious sincere viewpoint, my reader is invited to consider a few tugging yet seldomly asked questions. Why exactly are you against abortion? Is it because you believe deliberate pregnancy termination is accomplished only by taking a human life? Should your answer be yes, then why is it okay for somebody else to take a human life? Or are we merely discussing a form of birth control? In that case, why be against abortion philosophically? Now, I'm convinced it is the taking of a life. In fact, science is now convinced of that. But I know people still hold different views. And if your view is that it's not really the taking of a human life, then why are you against it? Probably you're against it because it is the taking of a human life, right? If it's not the taking of a human life, then it is nothing wrong. It is just a form of birth control. As for men, staying the hell out of it. Such utterances may sound like humble, sanctimonious words from a modern, progressive male. But before allowing popular statements to move faster than a quick card trick, perhaps we'd be better served to back up for a less hasty examination. Naturally, any decent society should embrace women's rights. Do these rights extend to baby women as well? If there is a living human being inside of a prospective mother, are we not talking about a body and life of its own? Or is this unborn child nothing but property? Property was an emotionally charged buzzword embraced by Southern plantation owners in pre-Civil War times. Such proud aristocrats insisted their Northern neighbors should stay the hell out of it. What right, after all, did Massachusetts or Pennsylvania have to impose personal morality on Virginia or Georgia? The Supreme Court's infamous Dred Scott decision gave legal legs to that position. Something to ponder. Just in case anyone wants to also quote a similar, more modern Supreme Court ruling, Roe versus Wade, in which the unborn child is also referred to as property. Or would you argue less about property and more about men not understanding the experience of pregnancy abortion? Forgive my crude analogy, but have you ever held up a 7-Eleven store? No? Does this mean you are in no position to judge others who do hold up 7-Eleven stores? After all, you have never shared their experience. As a matter of fact, can you think of any situation aside from abortion where you personally object to harming innocent people, yet publicly condone the action? Obviously, our most important question associated with abortion asks whether or not a human being has been destroyed. But there is another related injustice, one seldom discussed or even thought about. People love to embrace a woman's right to choose. Does this sacred right of choice extend to men as well? Can men decide whether or not to be parents? If a guy marries in good faith, agreeing with his wife that they are going to have children together if his wife then becomes pregnant, only to later change her mind, does he have any say whatsoever? Is a man's right to raise offspring forever under the jurisdiction of his mate simply because he isn't carrying their baby in his own body? Think about this. Think! They decide together to have a baby. She changes her mind. She now wants an abortion. Dad may honestly believe his own child is about to be literally killed. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter regardless of any personal moral considerations. This presupposed right to be a parent simply does not exist. Be it birth or abortion, he is barred from participating in any verdict. However, and this is very important, track with me, should this very same man impregnate a woman in or out of marriage, will she not sue him for palimony if she wants to keep the kid and he refuses to take responsibility for their child? Would he be able to say, whoa, wait a minute, this pregnancy has nothing to do with me. It's her body and her choice whether or not to bring that baby into the world. If she wants him, let her take care of him. Our poor friend would be laughed out of court, and you know it. A summary of today's peculiar logic. While an unborn infant is inside of a woman, it is hers and hers alone. Her partner has absolutely nothing to do but support her decision. But as soon as a child is delivered, at the moment it is born, it automatically becomes joint property, creating equal responsibility for both. What an amazing difference geography can make, especially when that geography is a womb. Consistency seems to be fleeting. Since Americans love to brag about choice, we'd be well advised to find a good-looking glass asking our mirror, mirror on the wall, why choice isn't offered to all. Such a privilege certainly isn't granted to others. For that matter, unborn babies don't receive a whole lot of choice either. Meanwhile, are you aware that many leaders in the various pro-life organizations are women? Feminists for Life is but one example. Abortion is not a man versus women's issue, but rather a point of tension within sexes. As for a woman reconciling the decision with her God, my friend, are you suggesting abortion is right or wrong only within the context of a religious belief? If somebody used his religious belief to say abortion was wrong, you'd jump all over that and you know it. But I don't associate it merely with religion myself. Would not a subject such as life and death be just as important to atheists? Of course it is. And there are a lot of atheists who object to abortion simply because it's wrong. It has nothing to do with their beliefs in God. Meanwhile, we still haven't dealt with the biggest elephant in the room. How exactly are people defining abortion anyway? I was in a panel discussion once with a pro-choice doctor. They asked him to define abortion. He said, an abortion is a termination of the fetus. Well, I had a chance to ask a few questions. Doesn't termination mean kill? Isn't fetus a Latin word for baby? My friends, in his novel 1984, George Orwell predicted a time when society would change its speech to nullify the effects of human actions. 1984 has arrived. In fact, Newspeak has brought us into the 21st century and will travel far into the 21st century. Now, in all fairness, many women, when they have an abortion, do not think of it as murder. In our zeal to call actions what they truly are, let us refrain from harsh accusations. Certainly doctors who perform abortions realize just exactly what they are doing, but young, frustrated women led to believe, for whatever reasons, that abortion is simply another form of birth control are not cold-blooded killers, neither shall they be labeled as such. Still, it is not impossible for people to peer beyond cliches or disguised words. Courage often cures brainwashing, enabling a person to admit that abortion equals death. Interestingly enough, many of today's pro-life advocates are people who at one time or another had abortions themselves, or who were prominently pro-choice. Three very interesting individuals representing this changed position are Norma McCorvey, plaintiff in the famous Roe v. Wade case that led to the Supreme Court's 1973 ruling to legalize abortion, Sandra Cano, plaintiff of the companion case Doe v. Dalton, and Bernard Nathanson, an outspoken doctor who founded the National Abortion Rights Action League and who performed abortions himself. He's against it now. These simple observations are offered in a spirit of open discussion, something my friend says he doesn't want to have. I believe we need to rethink our positions. Perhaps you still are not convinced that a human life is at stake. Even so, should we not err on the side of caution? Do not all human beings have a right to discuss ethics, be they male or be they female? Someday, when society finally concludes that legalized infanticide is being disguised behind a more convenient word, abortion, we will all know what decision needs to be made. Who are we kidding? This is Bob Siegel making the obvious obvious.
The Bob Siegel Show podcast is a production of Bob Siegel and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/bob.